Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Sugars, we are here again for a Ménage à Trois collab.
Part four. The Ménage returns.
I shut Poodle's playpen down and made him come out of his room because we have a very special
Willingly.
Everybody, we have YouTube superstar Wah from Just Call Me Wah here today. Welcome, Wah.
Woo!
Hi. Hey, guys. It's Wah. My name is Wahima, but you can call me Wah. Melanated.
Again, Jake's been singing that all the time. I don't know if it's appropriate, but in his apartment.
It's absolutely not. I was watching some of her shows, and she would announce it that way. And it's almost like 80s and 90s jingles that you would hear. And she just went, melanated, and I find myself, even when I'm like putting jelly on my toast going melanated.
Yeah, that, you need to stop that.
It's weird, and I need to stop. So, but Wah. Welcome, Wah.
Thank you. I stole that from Erykah Badu. I'm going to be honest. She has this song in it from one of her albums, and it's like bling, bloom, bling, melanated. Wow. To church.
The queen.
Anybody want to ask this her? Yeah.
She is the queen.
I think we all can remember where we were when we heard Tyrone.
Yes.
Yes.
It's one of those songs when she, I'll never forget when I heard, she goes, I'm tired of your shit. And,
you
and it's just
never
like
buy me nothing.
Wow, you can sing, girl.
Oh, thanks.
No,
I mimic. I don't think of myself as a singer. I think of myself as a sound mimicker.
No, I hear you. Did someone just
rang Poodle's doorbell? Wow.
I'll let them go.
Wow. You tell that trick to go home, please. This is early, Poodle.
He's locked in the back room, so he can't get out. So,
oh my! Hopefully, they don't keep ringing the doorbell. We're laughing because Wah's dealing with vacuuming from a house cleaner. I'm dealing with construction, and now Poodle is dealing with. This is real life, everybody. We're just gonna try to get through.
They'll go away. It's fine.
Wah. So we have the three of us. We talked about this before we started. Chris Fair is like, she's. We knew her for a long time, but for you, she is like
that unites us.
She is squirrel friend for you. She is like old school friend. But I guessed it on Chris's show, and this was like a year ago. And this is why we're doing this month of Ménage à Trois, because it's really my fault because my dad got sick and died, and we couldn't do any collabs with anybody because I was too fucking
it's your
busy
fault.
It's my fault. And so, but since then, I've wanted to do a collab with you just because I had so much fun with you, and you said things that were inappropriate and made me laugh.
You're gonna fit in just fine, honey.
Oh, that's wonderful. I'm so happy. I'm so happy that you called me to do this, and thank you so much for this opportunity. And I've watched you guys go from like 90 day gays to I can't say that, but I watched you go from that.
What? Not anymore.
And I remember when the change happened, and I said, "Oh, they're getting big time." If somebody came after them and made them change that name. Okay.
Well, we don't want to talk about it too much, but yeah. I because now we're all friends, right? Now we're all friends. Contractually obligated to say that we're friends.
No, we are, and we get it. Honestly,
we wish the best for one another.
Yeah. It was the best thing for us. It was a push to put us into doing Below Deck, doing all this other stuff. So, and really jumping into Lalu, which we're going to, watches Lalu, and especially past Lalu. So we're going to be talking about Lalu. She's also.
And 90 Day.
90 Day.
Love is Blind.
Love in Paradise. And so she watches it all. First of all, so this is what I want to ask you. Well, I even mentioned
this show is going to be messy already.
It is. On our free show, when we were talking about the collab with you, and I said this, and I'm going to call you out. Well, what's wrong with you that you're like us, that you like us, watch just the trash of trash TV?
What's wrong with you, Wah?
In the beginning, I was against it because I went to school for theater and I was an actor.
Yeah,
same.
I felt like reality TV was absolute trash, and like people who watched it were uncultured swines. And then my good friend Chris Fair, I went to her house, and she was an actor as well. And she had, I mean, all manner of trash on the television. And I said, how do you justify this with your Shakespearean background? And, you know, but anyway, I just got to the point where I was like, I see what she's watching. It's the train wreck. And that is the show, is the train wreck. And yes. I loved MTV's earlier stuff.
Real World and all that stuff, yeah.
Yeah. And then I started finding that I really enjoyed competition reality shows. So as soon as it became a competition involved, I was like, okay, I'm into this. But 90 Day Fiancé, I'm going to tell you right now, it is Darcy Silva. Darcy Silva is the
real. Same.
Our queen.
Same.
I mean, yeah, with all her angel perfume, Darcy Silva, House of 11, is the person who made me go, okay, I understand what's happening. I mean, Anfisa struck my attention, but Darcy is what solidified me understanding that, A, not only were people doing this and they had a talent for it, but that people were doing this for their own like stardom, and now I respect the hustle of it. I don't look at these reality shows as like people representing Black people in a terrible manner, or foreigners in a terrible manner, or Americans in a terrible manner. I mean, they still do all that, but
yeah.
I think of it more as like not an art form, but a way for the talentless to have talent. And listen, I have been trying so hard to get into the industry for so long. And if me judging the talentless is the way in, then I'm full speed ahead. And so I recognize and I appreciate what we're being given now.
I love that. Like Lisa Barlow would say, I love that.
Love that.
I love that. But I think you bring up a good point that they are people we consider to be, you would say, talentless, but there is a certain weird authenticity in, and I think what all of us are chasing these days in 2022 or even before is reality or authenticity. And what's strange is even in the most manufactured reality show, like Love is Blind, or a show that we watched that was called The Ultimatum. I think you watched it too.
Yes.
What a mess. But you find reality even in the most fake places. And like when Darcy came down that escalator and her shoe got stuck, it was one of the funniest fucking things I've ever seen. And then she was like, scraping the plain gunk off her body in the bathroom. Yes. and putting freesia all over herself, and she must have smelled
that. Was that all that angel
like Bath and Body Works? Yeah. That angel perfume.
Oh,
and I was just like, this is pure. You know, this is desperation, but we all get it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it is 100% desperation. It is insecurity. It is, but still with this go-getter mentality, and you know, some of the like weird little mantras that her and Stacey say to each other, and you're just like, that's what motivates you? Okay, all right. But what really motivates you is that you're the fact that you can get all this augmentation done. Like, we have watched these two completely transform. This is the first time I've seen someone transform themselves in front of my very eyeballs.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
So like, but that's also the reason why I love her, because we can see the insecurity and we watch it you know, we watch it unfold in front of us. And we still support and love and like, you know, and I will never say negative about my queen. She, agreed. I mean, that's why they got their own show. Any like yeah. her, Chantel, anyone who got their own show, I'm like, y'all got your own show for a reason.
Yeah. It's interesting because you mentioned Chantel. I still have, cause we've been going back through, we never watched her season, but we watched it in our Patreon rewatch of the whole thing.
We just watched it. We finished it like, what, 3 months ago?
Yeah. And we watched them on Happily Ever After now. And all I can think of is this whole marriage was based on a lie, that you lied to your parents completely and everything worked out for you.
Yeah.
And somehow I'm still okay with you and you're likable. Your family, less so. But Pedro's family less so, but I will watch it for their hijinks.
Yeah.
And for Karen's hats. Oh. And for her quotes and for her strange in certain things when I look one way and I'm like, that looks like Bill Cosby and Leonard Six. Every time she gives me Bill Cosby energy.
You know what? She is somebody who tried. She's like the broke Kris Jenner. Like she tried to.
Yes.
Like you could see.
That is.
You could.
That's the most accurate thing I've ever heard.
You could see that in some of the confessionals. Like she's reaching for trying to make a quotable, but she can't. So she just says whatever. And she's like, they are trying to. Like this is me looking at the camera, and I'm standing next to my husband Thomas, who doesn't say shit and just lets me do whatever. So it's like they are trying to capture. Farm harvest the American dollar.
Yes.
And
harvest.
And I every time she said it, I just kept thinking of somebody burying money and expecting flowers.
That may be the most accurate representation of Karen that I've ever heard.
She is I mean, just reaching. She can't even look at the camera when she speaks because she's trying so hard to bring the sentences together. And she fails almost every time. Except for when she's being an earnest mother. Like when we see scenes of her like protecting her children in an earnest way, like when she protected her son Royal when she brought that camera crew to his house and him and his wife didn't want to like open the door. And she was like, okay, guys, go away. And then you could see her being a mother. When Pedro was having issues with his mother and he goes to Karen and he's crying and she like goes into mom mode. But then when she's being like, Kris Jenner mode, then she's like, donde esta la America? Su pelo esta aquí. You know, she's like waving Nicole's weave after somebody pulled it out during that family fight with the, what you say? What you say to me? What you say? And how he high kicks the tacos off the table. Like, it's just, it's highs and lows with Karen, and we're here for all of it. And the wigs have gotten so much better. Their new season is coming up, and mom. Every single hair is laid and slayed. And it's taken them like season one, Happily Ever After, then like it's taken them four like shows to get here, but we finally made it to the promised land.
We fine. Yeah. You know, I'd like Chantel and Pedro, but I also thought they weren't riveting. And then you met their families.
No, it's
and
the families.
And them reacting to their families. We're gonna jump into family, Chantel. Yeah. We're just trying to figure out how to do it. We have heard that you know, that, cause I used to be in beauty. I used to do beauty and makeup. So we talk about that on our show, but we've heard that Chantel is the only person in 90 Day Fiancé history that's had their own makeup artist.
Oh, thank
Can
God.
You believe it?
I'm so
thank God.
Do it. I support Black people and however, whatever shenanigans and like seeing this as much
as shenanigans.
As crazy as they are like an example of a not prosperous, but middle class Black family with a stay-at-home hover mom, made them do cheerleading, you know, all of those things for kids, like a husband who adores her. So the truth is I like the niche of Black family representation that they bring to the Americas, to America.
Yeah.
I like that. So that's why I support them, because I would like to see more stories and more of that.
Right.
Also like the like vague xenophobia. You see xenophobia with Black people, but in like our country, you mostly see it with like white people, like with the xenophobia.
Right.
They're Italian or they're Jewish or they're whatever. But to see it with them being kind of xenophobic against the Dominican people, I was like,
it's messy because we're like, oh, these are not the Huxtables. This is not, we're not here. And I love it that you're right that they're,
I never thought about it until you said
it. It's nice to see their messiness and their dysfunction. And it's that's true. And is that progress?
Maybe it's not progress. It's representation, and that's
amen.
What I'm into, like, it's representation, and I just think that, like, you know, they fill a niche that hasn't that isn't right now.
Yeah, I think that it's different but similar in the fact of, like, this is a great segue. I want to talk, we're going to talk about 90 Day, but you just reminded me, let's talk about Love in Paradise that's coming out, because Jake and I, we love Kenny and Armando. Everyone loves Kenny and Armando, but we've been saying we want messy fucking gay people having dramatic gay fight. We want lesbian drama, because we have been in those bars and seen two lesbians just fucking go at it. They're drunk. We're finally going to get this on Love in Paradise. We have two gay men fighting in a go-go
one
bar.
One takes their shirt off at a bar. How gay is that?
How excited are you? What are you excited for about with Love in Paradise?
Love in Paradise is great because it's only 45 minutes. I mean, if you watch it on Discovery Plus with no, you know what I'm saying? You just skip past those commercials. I love it because it's quick and it gives me everything you need. And it's also a variety. Like, even in the first season, you hadn't seen two young, I'm going to always talk about black people, so just know that going forward. You never see two young, like, black people. You always see, like, a Nigerian who, like, might be scamming, and then, like, maybe, like, an old
55-year-old woman.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, so it was nice to see a young couple like that. It just was very refreshing. But this new season, that's the couple that stuck out to me the most. We get the girl who, for whatever reason, Ariana, who for whatever reason thought, what's this
thing
to be with her? And it's like,
with Sherlon.
Me with Sherlon, who was like, I'm a Viking. I'm like, sir, you're not a Viking. Like, my heritage is Scottish. And I said, okay, so you're Scottish or you're Viking? But anyways, we won't get into that. So, like, so we have that. But then we also have, I do see where the local, I mean, because the guy is, they're in Costa Rica or somewhere, right? And so the American is this black gay man who's been in the closet for years. Yeah. And he comes to whatever tropical place, and the guy is like, homosexuality is not acceptable the way it is in the States, and you're going to get this fucked up. And, like,
put your head down for a little bit.
It's like, chill. Like, I'm not saying you can't be gay. I'm saying don't take off your shirt and waggle your dingling around. That's what I'm saying. And so, like, it's just, I'm going to be so on edge the whole time, because I do worry about people in like, certain parts of this country.
So do we.
It is a genuine fear.
Anytime you're
going somewhere and you look around, I've had this, you know, it's different because we're not in, like, you know, some of the more dangerous places in the world for LGBT people are, you know, especially Jamaica used to have a really rough time of it. And, but there are still some places where but a lot of times you still really can't go, but you kind of looking around, and the guy was basically saying, just don't put on angel wings and dance on a parade.
Yes.
And dance on a float. And the guy's like, I'm not having that.
Yeah. I mean, I have three friends that I can think of just off the top that I know, two from grad school and one from comedy, that are, gay men from the Caribbean, and they all moved away because they, all three of them, knew someone who had been killed because they were gay, and nothing happened to those people that killed that person.
Yeah, I mean,
so it's a big, I don't think a lot of people realize, like, machismo and all of that in the culture. So we're with you. Like, I see that, and I'm like,
cringe, yeah.
And because you, especially for, we get it, you're a black gay man from America, that's a whole different thing. But again, that's part of what's fascinating to me about it is this whole, like, American concept of, well, I'm an American, I can do it in America now, I should be able to do it anywhere. And I'm like, bitch, no, you will get beat up. And
this,
like,
is what I do when Kylie comes on.
It's, and their people aren't being homophobic. You don't realize that it is a privilege that you can be an out gay man in America, because there's people in the in the world that can't do that still.
Yep. And it makes me think like, oh, you're an American. That's that American thing I talk about often in 90 Day Fiancé. You go to another country and you like expect them to be a certain way, but then you leave your partner behind to deal with the aftermath. Like you think they're going to forget just because these cameras are here right now and you feel protected. This man has to live with the consequences of your behavior. Like, and you never know. Like it is very American.
Yeah.
Presumptuous for that. I don't even know his name to go there. So already off the bat, I'm on the Latino man side. but I still think that this season is going to be great.
Because there is a throuple. It's two women and one man. Yes. I guess they're in a throuple, whatever.
That would be so interesting too, because the sound bite of like, it was me and you brought Nicholas in, or like whatever that was. I was just like, was it? Tell me more. Did you get that far? You know, like, give me all the things.
Oh, yeah.
Poodle's still upset about Mark and Kay from season one. He thought they were going to make it.
I liked them. I liked her more than him. Mm-hmm. But I love that they had a shared background that was almost storybook. As storybook as rehab can be.
Yeah.
But I was upset a little bit that they were together. But I don't think he's not good enough for her. I want something better for her.
So she reached out to me during the show and
shut up.
Was really appreciative of me covering her because, you know, there was a point where she was probably getting a lot of shit for some things she said about not really loving him or something like that. And I was very much like in the middle with them. And so she reached out to me. She's like, thank you so much for being so kind. And I'm like, girl, you think I'm kind? So like I now like, I know that the cast watches me, but like, sometimes I forget. Like, you know, I remember every 3 weeks, and it usually is like 3 weeks of me talking the most shit. I wouldn't be surprised if I'm blocked from like the whole Chantel family, even though I do follow Chantel and I love her. But like, I make fun of them so bad. But anyways, yeah, I thought they were still together because she did come to the States and was in a speech with him. And like, so I was following her on Instagram and stuff. But you know, she's so awesome. She's so fucking
I love her. I love her. I think she probably should try.
She didn't reach out to us, though. I don't think she liked what we said.
No, we don't really hold back. I think that the cast, most of the cast of all these shows, they would rather not hear from us. I know some of them do listen because some of them have said when we've reached out, they're like, yeah, we've heard what you said about us. We're like, okay, thank you. Yeah,
Kenny said, I don't have Botox and I like my children's names.
I came for his children's names because they're pretty basic.
I mean, they are pretty basic, but like, listen, at the end of the day, you guys are all gay white men in America with Southern accents. They should support you. I mean, I don't understand.
They do. They do support us. Someone got me a cameo from Armando and he drew a picture of my dog that died that's now framed in my apartment. That's my like my favorite picture of my Sophie.
Okay. Cause I'm like, regardless, like support each other. We're all in this together. It doesn't like if we're talking shit about them, like it's only giving them notoriety.
It's publicity.
Like,
exactly. 100%.
Thank you. You're welcome. You're welcome. Answer my email.
Exactly. Most of them get the game. And
is it David from David and Annie? 100%
gets it.
They've talked. We only did like 3 episodes because they got boring. But we actually did the whole 90 day foodie call because Jake is a cook. So Jake cooked and we cooked the recipes they did, and we talked about it and covered the show. And we actually it was a lot of work. But it was
cooking
a lot
shows
of
are hard.
But, yeah. David and Jake made Annie sing and loved it. And they reached out to us so we kind of have become friends with them. So,
yeah, he's so great. Chris and I met him like right before the pandemic at a live event. And he was so gracious. And I thought, because I went in on him in his
season. We're watching their season, not to interrupt you, but just to give you context. In our Patreon, we're literally on their season where we met them now. So we're dealing with like, he's drunk in the pool, in the hot tub. Like that's the David we just saw. Yes. So it's kind of shocking to us to see where David is now. We're like, oh my God, he was a mess.
He made the changes that she wanted him to make.
Yeah. David had no money. So like,
she's always been a queen though.
Yeah. Really. I mean, she has always been a queen, like, and just the shenanigans, but now they have this whole, like, he once told me that like he made thousands, more than 10,000, more than 30,000 more than 40,000, more than 50,000 a year just in cameos.
I no, believe it.
They just bought a house. I'm like, again, talk about somebody who gets the hustle. And speaking of that, that kind of leads us in, you know, let's talk about current 90 Day cast members and get your thoughts on this, because I felt, I think Jake maybe less than me, I'm really liking this season of 90 Day. I'm surprised by that, because when it started, I said, I feel like this is the most quote influencers we've ever had on 90 Day Fiance. Like, it just feels like everybody wants to be an influencer on this, and very few people want to act. It felt like only like Emily and Kobe were the only ones who were like really trying to figure out something, and maybe that even Muhammad. But we'll talk all about that.
Nice. I wish that she cooked like my mother. He sings English in a way that like is, I don't know if he's putting it. It's not just him putting the English words into the way he speaks his language, but it's like he's just decided that English is like this lyrical thing.
Very melodic.
Yeah, very, and it's like the melody is all over the place, and it does not have any cadence. Like, it's just cadence. Like not even a song anyone could sing.
No.
So these current castmates, let's see.
Even Muhammad. Let's jump into even Muhammad. Let's talk about them.
So I think that Muhammad is part of the LGBTQ community. I don't know.
100%. I've been saying that since,
if it's bisexual, if it's, I don't know what it is.
Robot.
It is like, he is not, it's Estella Got Her Groove Back, Terry McMillan situation. And she is such a lovely spirit. And
her, sorry, that took me out a little bit.
Like, she's such a lovely spirit with every single jewelry piece and bangle one can have on a bureau. Like, and he is just going to come in there and expect to be treated and catered to and taken care of when he does nothing but
nothing.
Female. Absolutely not. Nothing. Man, baby. So, man, baby number 30. And
what
this,
do you think about
this franchise?
Y'all, we were recording this on the 16th. So we just watched the episode. So I know we're airing a week after. So we're a week behind 90 Day. So something that just happened, we didn't see. Like, we haven't seen Bilal pull the call over with Shida yet. I know that when this aired, it will. But this week we saw, what do you think about Mohammed is going to watch Eve's child?
I think that is crazy because, like, how is he going to change that catheter?
That's what we said.
We had that thought at the end of the episode, and I my jaw dropped. And
Jake said, "What if he has to go to the bathroom?" And I said, "Well, remember he has a catheter." And I went,
"Yeah, like, in order to take care of like a special needs person, you would need some kind of training. Something."
I said immediate.
Like, she needed to take 2 weeks off and show him how to do stuff. And then he's like, "Oh, I don't want to be a babysitter." And I wanted to be like, "Then go home. You just want to be babysat is what you want." Like, he's, you know, as much as I talk shit about Zied, "Oh, I love you so much." Like, Muhammad is the worst. He's the worst Muhammad we've had on this show.
Wow. Saying
that's
a lot.
That's worse than Muhammad.
Muhammad. It's Muhammad. It is there, Muhammad. I want my sex. I think the worst
Muhammad, the kids' dads are watching him tonight. So let's do something freaky.
In the Mazda.
We could go down rabbit holes. So what do you think about, let's talk about Bilal and Shida. Let's just jump into
sleeping with the enemy.
Being what you said, because this is probably one of the most diverse cast of 90 Day Fiance we finally have had. This is representation.
How did they find the craziest motherfucker alive?
What they did is that he's not a scammer, but he's trying to get his little 15 minutes of fame too.
Yeah.
And I just think that he is representing he's from Kansas City. And I don't think he probably traverses the internet in the way that I do to know that his behavior is severely problematic. So as much as I want to support him, all I can think of is him just being rude to Black women. Like, and just this whole idea of a gold digger or worrying about somebody wanting me for the wrong reasons. It's like, okay, so you wanting a woman, could you imagine women being like, oh, I couldn't date him. He only wanted me because I was beautiful. I hope you just like, I want him to be here for the right reasons. Like, yeah. Women's beauty and men's money or men's ability to make money and keep it, those are the same things for the two genders, for those two pendulum swing genders. So, like, for him to feel that way and then have that be the basis of the storyline after he's gone there and flashed all of this cash to her, and now he wants her to prove herself and to be grateful and to all this stuff, it's just annoying. And is it a part of the toxic masculinity, or is part of the, like, the whole gender wars we're having right now with cisgendered heterosexual people? And it's just like, I don't need to hear this narrative anymore. Like, either be upstanding and be there for her and let her be the shady one, or I don't know, change the narrative. But I wish him the best in whoever he's entertaining, you know.
it is every time. I feel like it's hard, because when I watch, I just see her and she just looks like she is trapped.
Yeah.
And I think that's what I have a hard time with. This week, though, when she said, call me Umi, I'm like, slow your roll, honey. Let the children call you something. Don't come in here and start telling us who you want to be.
Well, she said you can eventually call me that.
That's true.
And so here's the truth. That 14-year-old or whatever, she's too old for that. Like, if you had dropped them at the younger boy's age and younger, and you really, like, the fact is I'm not going to call you Umi because I asked if you wanted to go downstairs and play pool. And you were like, oh.
Exactly. They were like, girl. Things
are not my thing. And it's like, okay, you can't be Umi. Like, you're going to be.
You can't be Umi. No.
Yeah. Like, mom plays games with us. Mom is in the trenches with us. Mom is, like, I could already see her not being a good stepmother.
Yeah.
But that choice, regardless of if she's not into playing games. Like, for example, every time I go somewhere with Chris Farah, she wants to say hi to people and be sweet and have people think, oh, look at these two sweet people walking around this TJ Maxx. And I don't give a shit. So I don't engage.
I'm like you are.
I'm like Chris Farah.
I walk away immediately. As soon as she says hi to a stranger,
does to me.
That's what I do. I'm with you.
I move. So for me, if Shida doesn't, she needs to call out her hard lines immediately. But there's a time when you do need to do that. You do need to present and you do need to, like, pretend. And she couldn't even do it for TV.
Yeah.
Moment. Like, what is she doing? Oh, I'm going to say no. And they weren't going to go downstairs. And girl, you're filming a show.
Jake said it. He thought maybe she was worried that these were fake children. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Go ahead, Poodle.
I said that I think she was still worried that he was pranking her and these weren't his kids. And so, like, these were two other children he just got. And he just said they're like his friend's kids. And he wanted to see what would happen if she would, and she's like, are these this motherfucker's kids?
The fact that she said no was so shocking.
It was shocking.
But like, can't you hang for like one day? Can you try to do, like, I don't love doing games and stuff, but I'll be fun to impress, like, a group of people. If I'm trying to be married to someone, I'll do my best Vicky from the Parent Trap for like a week before I completely launch into you and tell you I'm a shitty person.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like shocking. I was like, oh yeah, you're going to be annoying to them. Like, and you're going to say things to them because you think that they should automatically respect you. And like, I get it. Maybe, you know, culturally she's used to kids just kind of, you know, giving a certain amount of room and onus and whatever to a stepmother. But here, not in the States, girl, not with these kids that are half grown, not with their father being basically single for the last 7 years.
Yeah.
No, you're not about to come in here and put your stank on everything and then expect, you know, that, because I also don't think she's going to, like, care for them in the way
she should
if she wants that title.
No. I think she's been auntie for a long time. And
yeah, he plays games. That little, my little nephew be on my back, neck, breaking it and all kinds of stuff. You play games with an auntie.
You know what? You're right. Because when I'm an uncle, when I'm with my niece and nephews, I have to play games whether I want to or not.
Yeah.
There's not an option.
Yeah. You want to be fun, Uncle Jake. You want to know, you want that when they see you that they're always smiling. And like, that's what you got to
do. It helps when you give them gifts.
Hey, I put in the time with my nephews because I'm not having kids. So I literally said, okay, who's taking care of Uncle Matt when I have him to die for? Because you got to prepare. Okay, let's talk about Kara and Guillermo, another influencer, I think.
No.
I like that Wad just said, no, let's not. We started to like her. In this last episode, Kara really was grating on us.
She's grating on me. Yeah, she's starting to grate on me.
I couldn't even watch the segment. I heard something about a private investigator, and I just tuned out. Like, I think I was just on Instagram scrolling. I like her red hair. I like her minimalist makeup looks. I like the fact that she speaks, like, Spanish. I'm over this narrative. Like, these last three episodes, the narrative has been Guillermo's a little boy and doesn't know what to do with his time. And then he's like, I'm not a little boy. I wear big man pants. Don't call me a little boy. Not a little boy. I'm Guillermo, big man. And then we have to, like, deal with that. And it's like, no, Guillermo, yes, you are a man, but you're also 23, so you're also not a man.
Yeah.
And you just moved to this country. So, like, yeah. Kara shouldn't have to tell – Kara's going to tell you everything until you get a job and understand how credit works and understand the yeah. ways. Like, until those things happen, you're not a man in America.
We know that you escaped your country.
Yes.
And that was, like, yeah. that took balls. But welcome to America, and it's about your credit report. That's yeah. a good way.
He's gonna be. I think this season, though, because he says cute things on the camera, he's gonna be one of the stars because he's kind of lovable in that way.
We don't think they have problems.
We think it's gonna be fine with those two. They're gonna be. He'll have a problem with her party lifestyle because of his, like, machismo upbringing. We'll hear that. They'll be fine. It'll wind up being a little bit – it'll be a little Chantel Pedro-like. That's where I'm seeing that for them. I think she might be a little more showing on camera who she is more than Chantel because Chantel was very guarded her first season. Because, you know, I think Chantel's probably always thinking in her head that I'm a black woman on this show and I have to be very, I'll have to show what I need to show. And through Happily Ever After, she's opened up a little bit more, but. Yeah.
After she opened up, what did we see? what was the difference exactly?
Well, she kind of stopped making that face. In season one, she always just looked like she had TMJ. She was just like, That relaxed.
I just don't know what Chantel thinks.
I think she's so guarded.
It's interesting. Kara, I think she'd probably be someone fun to kick it with or whatever. But on TV, like, because I don't think anything's exciting about her, I don't want to look like her. I don't want to be her. Like, there's nothing, I don't necessarily want to be her friend. She might as well be a cast member of Love is Blind or The Ultimatum. Like, that's how I feel about her. I'm not endeared to her.
She does belong on that show.
She belongs on either of those shows.
She's a professional dancer because she was. And I mean by that, like, a lot of dancers that I know are just so, because they get, like, so much shit about the way their bodies look, it's almost like she is so hyper aware about how she's perceived. I feel like it just kind of clicked for me with you saying, I feel like we never get, like, true authenticity from her of who she really is.
That's fair.
And we don't know that with her.
Yeah.
Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or is it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Poodle, I gotta tell you, I think I just made one of the best investments for myself.
Oh, thank God. You got rid of those braces and decided to sew your mouth completely shut. Perfect.
No, the doctor just added 4 more months.
Oh, I think he's trolling me at this point.
No. See, now that I'm putting myself out there...
No one wants to hear about your dating life.
But you talk about yours all the time.
Because mine is interesting.
Well, I wanted to let you know that I took a page from your book and it worked.
Ooh, you slept with her ex to make them jealous?
No.
You pulled their credit report?
What?
Made a copy of their keys while they were sleeping?
How are you not in jail?
Deny, deny, deny.
No, Poodle. I decided to get myself a pair of Me Undies great new underwear, which makes my, important parts look more junk forward.
Junk forward? Wait, are you talking about the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies?
Yes, the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies.
I love the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies. There's no other way to date in this world. If you're not dating junk forward, you're doing it wrong.
I think you're right. And you never told me that they're so comfortable.
Well, usually I'm not wearing them that long. But yes, they are so soft. And the more you wash them, the softer they get. And they still keep you tucked and lifted in all the right places. When I wear them, I can barely keep men away from me. Oh, the way they stare. They look like burly, hungry cavemen searching for a nice meal after a long caveman day of nomadically crossing the tundra. To them, I'm like a piece of meat roasting over an open, smoky flame.
Speaking of smoking, not only does my junk look great in MeUndies, but my butt looks hot.
Okay, no one wants to hear your over-sexualized descriptions. Have some class.
Sissies, we've fallen in love with MeUndies, and you can too. They have a style for everyone. From all-black classics to fun, expressive prints, MeUndies has a look for everyone. Plus, they come in sizes extra small to 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for everybody.
And MeUndies isn't just about underwear. Explore the lounge collection featuring joggers, hoodies, onesies, and more. With unmatched comfort, MeUndies signature fabric is as soft as a warm hug from your favorite sweater. It's breathable, stretchy, and oh so comfy, making it ideal for all-day wear.
And they use sustainably sourced materials and work with partners that care for their workers.
And you know Mother Poodle loves a return policy. Not happy with the first pair of MeUndies? It's on MeUndies. Cough!
Sissies, good things come in big packages at MeUndies. Get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/RealityGaze.
That's MeUndies.com/RealityGaze for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in.
To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies.
Oh my God, Poodle, I can't stop singing that song either. It's so catchy.
So catchy. Sissies, we are obsessed with the Songfinch original song that we premiered at the Toronto Live Show. Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever.
For example, we wanted to create a song dedicated to our Canadian listeners, some of which have waited 4 to 5 years to see us live. After the show, we had so many people tell us how special the song made them feel, and we are still getting DMs and comments about it.
And the Songfinch songwriter was so clever, incorporating all our sissy references like Aunt Peggy's Lip, Elizabeth Smart, and even Keep Going Queens.
Yes. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
You can also choose unique add-ons to make the gift even more personalized, like a vinyl record of your song or a piece of one-of-a-kind art made from your lyrics. You can even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation or a wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anywhere, anytime.
Go to songfinch.com realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us, too.
songfinch.com/realitygaze. Now, Gary, play us out with a little bit of our Songfinch original song to all our queens.
Never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Hey, hey,
our Canadian listeners, we know you get tired of waiting. Reality Gaze is coming to you, so no more complaining. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies, love yourself. Never be ashamed. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies, love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Have hope, have hope. Keep going, queens.
What about, what do you think about the mess that's unfolding with Emily and Kobe?
I am not on Emily's side right now. Because she's acting from the last couple of episodes.
We saw the episode where she kicked him out of bed, y'all, and made him not sleep in the same bed with his child after 2 years of not seeing him, and he slept in a separate room.
So, like, she doesn't want Coben to like the dad, or she is like not used to sharing him, so she doesn't want to, or she is like so used to being in mom mode that she doesn't, it's like she wants a relationship with Kobe and she wants the relationship with Coben, but she doesn't want those two to have a relationship unless she is like the facilitator of
the
that.
Arbiter of dead the on relationship. Yeah.
And like, it's
oh, you're going to rile him up. Like, yes, he is going to rile him up. This is the first time this man is seeing his baby. He should be allowed to touch the baby's toes. He should have been told that he wasn't going to see his baby right away. It's like she's trying to control the situation. And then when she's mad at him for the breast stuff, like, she acts like that is not something that most American people think. Like, you can't even feed your baby in public in some places. Like, there is an idea that, like, after a certain age, you should stop breastfeeding. And, like, I don't know if she thought because of, like, American ideas of what Africa is, that mothers are just walking around titty out feeding children in the streets. And so how could this man who's from a place where women just be feeding titties, feeding all the children on the street, like, how could he be against it? Like,
but your mother went bare-breasted her whole life.
Yes.
How would that happen?
Your sisters aren't feeding the animals? Like, I don't understand. You're from that place. And it's just like, what? And then, like, the dad getting involved was so, I was like, sir.
He was hovering. And
control
it was like,
yourself.
Move back.
Yeah. So Emily's not endeared. People like her. I don't yet.
But I've changed after this last these last two episodes. I think I just wanted to feel for her because my heart goes out to a woman who has a baby on their own, doesn't have like the other parent there. But then I have to remind myself, because she's so emotionally mature, I keep thinking that Emily is 19 years old.
She's 29 years old.
So once I remind myself that she's grown, that she's almost fucking 30, kind of all the sympathy drops for me. Because I'm like, you know better. And you do have support. You have your whole fucking family spoiling you. So it's like...
Family! Just one bathroom.
I think
even grandma's like, we do what Emily says.
Yeah, and so... people are going to come for Kobe about the breastfeeding thing. And we talked about that, but I feel like that pales in comparison to all the other shit
they're
going to
come
done to him
on the tell all. They're going to tear her a new one. I'm going to tell you that right now. Everyone on that cast, every woman in that cast is going to rip her a new one. I'm saying it now.
Yeah.
It's going to get me ugly.
She should. I mean, they're in Salinas, whatever. She can't afford an apartment. There's nothing that she could have done to pave the way.
A queen size bed so they all can sleep in it.
And then telling him to go sleep. You did not plan for this person to come to this. This is this quintessential American thing where they're just like, well, it's not the shithole country you're from.
So exactly.
Yeah. You should be grateful. All the fucking time.
You have a roof over your head and four walls. And not only is there a twin size bed in here, but there's also a couch. Utilize it.
I'm not asking you to feed the yak.
I'm like, bitch, he was an underwear model traveling the world.
Yeah.
Like, he stayed in a Marriott. Bitch knows, like, you know.
And she's like, yeah, you're used to going to walk to get water. We have water coming out of the spigot. So you should be very grateful for what I'm providing you here. And you're getting me so upset. You at the same time, you look so good.
Yeah. It's that tongue that always sticks next to her teeth.
That's a good Emily. That's a good Emily Wall.
Her tongue, I can barely watch her speak because her tongue is like right next to her teeth. Yes.
So we didn't see them this week, but we've seen a lot of them and probably one of the most controversial. What do we feel about Jabri and Miona?
Oh, we didn't see them this week.
No,
did not.
It was a welcome relief.
You know what? I think that Jabri's mother came to give us a show in her own quiet therapy way. Her hair is always laid. Love the glasses. I think Jabri is having a mixture of being an only child, pouty behavior, and also like trying to be a reality TV star. Yeah, 100%. And I love the fashion, and people are talking about it, but I love the fashion from the both of them. I mean, as long as she doesn't get on there and like put on too much self tanner and try to pass as, you know, black woman, then
yes.
I kind of think I watch them now for entertainment. I don't think anything is serious about this storyline, and which is different because in the beginning of 90 Day, everything was super high stakes. And there are always now in where we are now, there's always going to be one or two couples that are kind of joke couples. And we have to be kind of okay with that. We're not going to be super invested in their story. And we're going to be able to laugh at them. And I think that's what they are. And I don't know if you guys have seen it. It just came out. Someone showed a clip of the Black Serbs performing on a talk show in Serbia or something. It was the craziest fucking thing you've ever seen. It is definitely not music. They were, and you remember, there was all Cash Money is here, Brandy is back. I think we saw all the members of the Black Serbs. There's a robot playing guitar. It is the most Eurotrash thing you've ever seen. It's amazing.
So, but he's just waiting for that one song, and then he gets, and then everything's gonna be fine. We're just waiting. If I didn't know how terrible she was on social media, I would like Miona. But then we've seen on like she's a fucking troll on social media and horrible.
Yeah.
So I feel like, because right now I'm not a fan of, like, you're right. It is the mom show. She is full on trolling them. Like, she hates this woman. She wants her out of her house. And so right now, I have to remind myself, I feel sorry for Miona a little bit. But then I have to remember how horrible she is online. And I'm hoping that side comes out on the show, because it's going to be delectable to see the mom take her out.
I actually haven't been following anything. I try not to follow the cast at all outside of
We try to as well. There's just been so much with the blackfishing and all that with Miona. It's just been so much.
Yeah. And it's like whenever it's that, I'm just like, meh. I'm just there for the fashions and to see like a light bit of shenanigans, but that's really it. Like, honestly, Clara and Guillermo, I'm not interested in. Miona and Jabri, I'm only there for the fashion. And there's one other couple.
Who have we not talked
Ari
about?
Ari and Beanie.
Oh God, I hate them. Oh my God, I hate them so much. Because like, what is this outfit he was wearing? Did he just like purposely want to troll?
He just wore the Ethiopian flag.
He just like, wore all, like, I mean, this, that wooden necklace.
He traveled like that.
He traveled like that as though that's his everyday garb. And it's not. Like, it's not his everyday garb. He just wanted to like represent, which is fine. But it was just weird. Also, Ari's family is just so much better than Wish and the rest of his family to him. So
he's getting the best of all the worlds.
Yeah,
because Janice, Ari's mom, is the love of his life.
she's there to make him feel very comfortable. And I love that this episode, they touch on the fact that these two don't bring in any money and they're just like mommy and daddy grifters. And they just like, they're just two youngest kids getting together, having a kid and then not having a plan.
I'm excited because Ari was the most divisive person probably we've ever covered on the show. We've had so many people. If we didn't like Ari, they came for us. If we said something we liked her, they came for us. We just never could. And we never could, quote unquote, be right. But that's not why we do the show. We just air our own opinions. Because remember, y'all,
I don't give a fuck.
You can come at us. You're getting it for free. So whatever. But I'm excited because you're right. Like Jabri's sisters treat him horribly and they have such a
Beanie.
Fucked up done.
Beanie. Yeah, Jabri,
I'm sorry, Beanie. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Beanie's sisters treat him horribly. But now we have Ari's family who can totally call her on her shit. If they do,
the siblings will.
Jake said, we hope we see more siblings.
Yeah, because I was honestly thinking like the amount of money and attention that Ari has sucked up from the parents. If I were her siblings, the only way that it would make it right would be to equally give me as much money, regardless of how successful I am. Give me the same amount of money you're giving our wayward little sister who like literally left her husband, went on vacation and got pregnant by another man and like has now drawn the family into this like completely like East African adventure. Like
remember
East African Eat, Pray, Love that she was doing. Yeah.
And also Cara was just, Ari, no words. Ari was just, like she was only divorced for like what, 3 months, 4 months, or something like that. Whenever
she
that
wasn't
all
divorced,
happened.
She was never divorced. Remember,
oh, yeah.
They never got divorced.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
she got divorced when she was pregnant because she went away. Like she was like, oh, I don't know if I wanna. I think he was either gonna get his doctorate or he was gonna go somewhere or something. And she didn't She didn't want to go on that journey with him, so they separated. And she went on a walkabout, like she was fucking going on the outback, but she went through parts of Africa, met this guy and let him just like leave his trash in the cage.
She braided her hair.
She did. Where, I mean, it was kind of a moment of where were you when, you know, a lot of like when Paul gets in the poop water, where were you when, you know, Darcy did clean herself off the bathroom? Where were you when Beanie played the butt bongos?
Yes.
And leg piano on his ex-girlfriend while Janice and Ari watched.
We see the ex-girlfriend and we're like, where were you when you realized that Benny is calculated and wants to get to America? Because when you saw his ex-girlfriend and you see Ari and you go, huh.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
That is, you mean that gorgeous woman who was just gracing them with her presence?
I mean, that was Nefertiti reincarnate. Like, that
she was fucking like, gorgeous. And then there's Ari with her heavy fucking middle school eyeliner.
Yeah. And she's like, that's what I'm saying. I can't even do her accent because it's so like, she's like, Binium, and me and Ari, I can't do it. I can do him so much better. He's like, Ari, we're going to America and, you know, to be with my sister Wish, and I don't need an interpreter. I speak the English. I, you know, oh, I'm so excited. I lost my words. Like,
it's pretty good.
She is like, not awful, but it's just like watching, I don't know. I just like,
they're one of those couples that either people are still a little interested in or people just fast forward through.
Fast forward through.
Yeah. Like,
what is he saying half of the time? He just looks lost. He looks like an amphibian. He just, what does this person bring? And he's got like,
but they're kind of perfect for each other because they're just two children looking for adults to take care of them.
Before we run out of time, can we talk about a little bit about Lalu? Love After Lockup.
Let's do it.
I know
you haven't watched a lot of this.
We've watched this current season, but Love During Lockup you did watch.
Yes. So I got Cruella DeVille, young Cruella.
Oh, we called her Black and White Cookie. That poor thing.
That poor baby.
Dalton!
Dalton! I got a trailer for him!
Like, so, why... What do you feel like? I'm interested because you're just... I feel like you are good at kind of seeing things for what they are. We have our own thoughts, but why for you is Lalu so compelling?
Because it is just, and it's the premise being you are going after someone who is incarcerated. That idea means that you, there's a certain part of you that's like, I want someone who doesn't have any other choice but to talk to me. Because it's hard out here, right? And so you're just like, that's what I want, number one. I want someone that I can take care of, someone that is going to solely rely on me. And then they get out and you have believed all of their lies.
Yep.
You have believed everything that they had. No, they're not going to come out and be successful. They're not drug dealers, okay? They're just like people who stole cars, people who did drugs. There's this one season with Matt and Kristen, or I think her name was, I don't know, but Matt was a meth head since he was 18. Did you really think that you were going to reform him? His own mama didn't care about him. His own mama was like, this man is trash. Like, and it's just watching that train wreck of just that premise alone is interesting. But then you have characters. Like, I don't know if you ever saw seasons with Andrea where, you know.
Oh, yes. Lamar.
Character. It was Andrea who was the character. And as much as I hated her, like, I disliked her, you know, whatever. It was just entertaining to watch. Her kids kept me there because they were so adult and just with like, my mom and Lamar are not going to make it.
Those kids could be nuclear scientists.
Yes.
They're so smart.
They're the wisest people on reality TV.
Yes. So great. So it's just the fact that you're going to see a train wreck. Now, the part where it gets sad is that a lot of time these train wrecks are like really have drug addictions. Like rest in peace, Tracy, rest in peace, Allah. You know, there have been some truly negative things that have happened out of it. But then you have the puppy and Amber situation where that is just like great. I mean, Amber took that. She said, oh, I'll be on this little riggedy show with you and it'd be awkward me kissing you. And then guess what? Next season, it's just me and Puppy. Who the fuck is Vince? Where's that guy? Who cares about him?
Who the fuck is Vince? It's and like Lacey and John and Shane.
John and Shane and Lacey. Yeah. Oh my God. I like,
you cheated on me.
Yeah. I don't trust him. But me and John just have something going on. And then when John's like, I don't know. I love Lacey, but I gotta let her go because I got a real good thing with Tammy or Trixie or whatever the fuck.
Or other cocktail waitress I fucked last night.
Some name.
There's something about John though, man. He could do unspeakable things to me.
Oof.
I know. I just, boy.
Well, do you make bad decisions too?
Well, we're the same. I'm like, give me a bad boy. And I know they're bad for me, but I'm just like, oh, boy.
Yeah, I'm like, you cannot have any money from me, but you can come over and I'll order us, you know, some food in and some other stuff, and then you can go.
I'll order in some Panda Express. Yeah. We'll do it uptown.
And then you can go, okay? You can come here for a little bit. No, you can't stay. I'm so sorry. You can't stay the night. I'm sorry.
No. I'm afraid you'll steal from me.
Yeah.
This last season was good. I know you haven't watched, but because you have a knowledge of the couples, we feel like love during lockup. Or I'm sorry, love
life after lockup.
Life after lockup is next.
I would love to see I don't know their name, but it's a black girl, and I guess they've been together for 13 years, and it's a black dude, and he's like,
Oh yes. Kayla and Martell.
Low self-esteem. Because she's like, well, I've been with this for 13 years and so I'm in. And I'm like, nah, as soon as he like left for the night and didn't come back and then got like, yeah, your house might have been a little dirty, but like he honestly didn't think he had done anything wrong, but he thought you had done something wrong. It gets worse.
She needs girlfriends.
Oh, okay.
To say you need to not... We're gonna kidnap you and take you away from this because she's not gonna do it herself.
Okay. So then there's them, and then I don't wanna see any more of Harry and India unless her mom is there.
No, I don't think they're gonna film because if they do, it'll be because Indy basically begs Harry to do it.
Okay. Yeah. He's trash. And then who else
did you ever watch Hottie? And Ty?
Ty and Hottie from Love During Lockup.
I did. But Ty, she is the one who's here for the TV too. Because she came and commented on one of my videos when I was kind of going in there.
Oh, she did.
I was like, that girl, that woman is not 37. She is 45. And she was like, no, I'm 37 in the comments. And I'm just like, fuck, you just ruined it for us. Like, now we can't talk about you because now you'd be over here looking. Listening.
See, ours is on the paid feed, so they don't pay the $5 to listen to it or $8 or whatever.
Yeah.
I love that season with Ty and Hottie. And
why are you playing on my phone?
And Boston.
Why are you playing on my phone?
This is girl playing on my phone. I'm like, stop answering the phone, bitch. And then when she takes out the three phones on the date, and it's like, oh, excuse me, it's work. Excuse me, it's work. It's not, girl. And she's just like walking outside to answer someone who she knows is playing on her phone. Girl, get up here.
I want to see her again. I know I'm terrible. I do.
I still can't get over when she said, when she was meeting with Boston and Boston's friend, she's like, well, hello, irrelevant. And she was talking to Boston's friend and called her irrelevant.
I love the fact that she like wanted to meet that girl at her job to fight her polka dot pants, titties swinging.
Ah, yes!
Like, she just like, ooh, I saw her and my blood started to boil. So I kicked off my shoes. And I say, you a whole granny. You a whole granny.
Yeah, I'm like you, 37. Okay, honey.
Or a hard life, you know? 37 hard life.
Well, maybe we'll see. I bet we'll see Brittany and Marcelino actually coming
almost
up.
Almost certainly, yeah.
Love them.
And you know that Lindsay is now with
Deontay.
Deontay. Yeah, I love them. Love Deontay. He's so crazy. And then I love Brittany and Marcelino because I remember them in the beginning and then they figured out the code to reality TV and the both of them shook hands and said, babe, we're about to do this. And he said, yeah, babe, we're going to do this. And so they did it. And now she is successful. It was like the perfect, from the time she came out of prison, I said, oh, she was a former meth addict, lost her baby, and she has completely transformed her life. Just like Amber, completely transforming their lives. And so seeing people like that give me
it's
hope.
It's inspiring.
It's very inspiring. Yeah. Like I root for Brittany and Marcelino hard. I root for anybody who's come out of this situation and has used this as a platform for them to do better. Like even Lisa, I want Stan and Lisa. I know Stan's with somebody else now, but I want to know how Lisa's doing.
I want to know. Molly
I want to know if she's
Mommy
still
Master.
Got that wave.
Oh, my God. But every single time she's like, Stan, blah, 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 blah. And he would say something crazy and she'd look at the camera like, I said, bitch, we hear with you. We heard it.
Yeah.
We heard it. We heard it.
I would rather not see any more Michael and Sarah. But I have a feeling we're going to.
No, I don't want to. I just don't want to watch them make bad decisions in front of the children and little girls.
Yeah, that's what's hard with them is their kids. You just go, ugh.
I want to see the one who knocked the dude out. I want to, if they're still together, I want to.
Tiffany and Kevin. Oh, my God.
I think Tiffany and Kevin are, because they're looking. This is a spoiler, but they're looking for someone to be in a threesome with.
Because, listen, it could be me. I'm gonna tell you right now, Kevin.
Okay, you
okay,
and Poodle
he's
are
got
the
fans
same,
out
bro.
There.
Kevin,
I have a short king fantasy.
I am not letting y'all go out.
I have a masculine, like I love masculine people. Like it doesn't matter the gender, it's just the masculinity, and he is giving it to me. Like he could just put his hand right here and just like look at me and like turn my
like, he's side. Like kind of choking her always and the thing. I like
Okay, I am not letting you two go out because I will not see you again.
We'll go out, we'll go downtown, honey. One of us probably won't come back, but we'll have a great time.
Great time. I just want to, you know, I want him to tell me what to do. You know what I'm saying? I just want him to know light direction.
As long as we have a safe word, we're fine.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, no. Come on, Kevin. Just like look at me and be like, hey, yes, daddy, I will.
Okay. You're going to end up catching up on this season and you're going to text us and you're going to be like, bitch, I didn't know. I didn't know. Because it is a good season. So
it's worth it. It's only show. 10 episodes, but they're long. But
they're 90 minutes or something.
Yeah, 90 minutes. It was a ride. Yeah. It was a ride.
I'm going to do it.
It was a ride. Okay. We need to wrap up, but. Is there any, we talked about a lot of stuff, but is there anything that we haven't talked about that you're watching or that you're super into right now? Or everybody
scripted or unscripted? Yeah.
I'm going to be honest with you. And this is, I am
Realty.
I'm going through withdrawals from RuPaul's Drag Race. Like I know listen, I am in it 110% at all times. I see a drag queen and I lose my shit. I want them to, I have World of Wonder app. So I watch the other iterations. And then now that they're giving us a break until June and doing all of this promotion for the All-Star Season 7 with all of the winners, I'm like, give it to me in my mouth
right now. I need to catch up.
They are dragging us out. They are.
I'm still halfway through two season of Canada because I like to watch them when they come out. Mm-hmm. So I've got to catch up on Canada, and then I have to catch up on this whole last season. And so I've got a lot to prepare.
I liked this season. I still wish there was like one queen who I was just like, that's it for me. But I understand. I was back and forth between Camden and Willow, and Angeria for a while, and then Angeria kind of just started fading a little bit for me. Mm-hmm. It was never Daya for me.
Yeah, it was never her.
But Willow is the most interesting queen we've had at least in two or three seasons. So.
Oh yeah, definitely. She's interesting to me the way that like Bimini was for me and the way Jinx was for me. Bimini is is UK season 2.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I've watched UK.
Yeah. They're interesting queens in that way. And the way kind of Evie Oddly was interesting.
Yes. I loved Evie.
Yeah. Like, and I can't even believe that Evie was 3 cycles ago. Like I was like, she wasn't the last winner. No, no, no. It's like Simone and then Jane's Essence.
Oh, I love Simone.
It might've been one more and then Evie, but like,
yeah.
Now, have you watched Drag Race from, because we tell people, Jake and I have watched like since season 1.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Good. Because we feel like a lot of people, they jumped into Drag Race like when it became mainstream in the last like 3 or 4 years. And we're like, no. Like you, especially.
You got to go back to the Vaseline filter.
Yeah. Y'all, if you're planning on watching All Stars, start on season 1 when it was in RuPaul's Garage.
Bibi Zahara Benet, Cameroon.
Cameroon. Yeah, I watched that season when,
Tyra.
Yeah, it was like America's Next Top Bottle. What's her name? Not Siobhan. She's a showgirl too in Vegas.
Chantel? No.
Chanel.
Oh, when Chanel came out, I said, bitch. I have been a fan of RuPaul since she came out on the Arsenio Hall show. Like, I was staying up, and this person who I was like the tallest woman I had ever seen came out, and Arsenio was trying to ask Ru how she tucks. And I didn't know what she was talking about. And then when they said, but you know, you're a man or something, at some point I said, what is this magic?
You went, what is this magical thing? What is this unicorn?
Yeah, and then when CoverGirl came out, I never heard it on mainstream, but I would hear it. You know, I would hear it and I'm like, work, CoverGirl, work it out, na, na, na. Like, and then so like, when the show came out, it was like I hadn't heard of RuPaul in like 15 years since I was like a kid.
Yeah.
And then the show came out. I was in New York City and I couldn't figure out how to watch Logo, but I worked in retail. So I had all of the gay friends. And I said, who has this logo? Where is it? Where can I find this?
One of you does.
This network. And so a friend of mine was like, come over. I have it. We'll watch it. And I was like, oh, bitch.
It was appointment television. Jake and I were roommates at the time. And that was like every Friday night we would order Mexican food and like drink ourselves silly just watching Drag Race.
I mean,
and not have dates. So, but anyway, but I want to say I want you to come back. We'll have you on when we'll talk about the newest All Stars.
Okay,
we'll talk about when All Stars premieres. And
I'll come to you. Listen, if I'm COVID free, I'll come to you.
Yes. Well, this has been so much fun.
I knew you would love her.
I love you.
I told Jake, I was like, she's kind of your people. And now I'm scared of what I created.
And it's rare because like not many people are my people. I dislike most people.
Anyway, I'm just worried of what's going to happen to y'all somewhere in Silver Lake.
We'll go downtown in those sketch clubs. And I don't know. One of us may not come back, but we'll have a good story.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Just put that location services on. I'll find you.
That's a great idea.
With Chris Farah just looking for you. Wow, tell everybody where they can find you.
Okay, y'all can find me on YouTube at Just Call Me Wah. You can find me on Instagram at Just Call Me Wah. I mean, you can also find me on Facebook and Twitter, but girl, I'm not there. So you can follow it there I'm there, but I'm not there. And yeah, so my name is Wahima, but just call me Wah.
There you go. We'll have the links.
W-A-H.
Yeah, we're going to have the links in our show notes. And if you're listening to this, if you want to watch it, the video version is on our Patreon tier at the $15 tier if you want to see all of
our
faces.
Were we being filmed? Oh, my God. I hope I wasn't picking my nose.
No, I didn't. It's fine. I know I was definitely posing. Here's another one.
Oh, I'm doing Stacey. Stacey Darcy's sister.
Yes.
That's what they do.
Yeah. I usually do recaps on Monday nights, and I do 90 Day Fiancé, all of the love reality, relationship reality shows. But, you know, work has been a little busy, so I'll get back into it.
Yay!
It's all right. Life happens, and we get it. Thank you so much for being here today, Wall. And for the rest of y'all, follow, watch her, and y'all.
She's a delight.
A delight, and what a wonderful, I think this...
Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
We reached out to other people, but they don't call us back. So I think this might be our last collab of May. So what a success, our Ménage à Trois. You are the finale of Ménage à Trois.
Oh, thank you so much. It was a pleasure, you guys. Call me back anytime. I'm down to do it whenever, you know, whenever.
We will.
Whenever.
We need to, do a foursome and get Chris Farron here and just have us all
my God.
Mics.
That energy, that gay energy would be way too much.
Just so much energy and snacks.
Energy.
And
snacks. All right, everybody. All right, we'll see you next week. Keep going, Queens. And have a good week, y'all.